Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we raise the next generation together. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry who's 12, Oliver who's 9, and Teddy who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Zach Rosen. I host another podcast, a very short one. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am dad to Noah who's 6 and Ami who's 3. We live in Detroit, Michigan.
I'm Lucy Lopez. I host another podcast, The Mamacita Rica. I'm mother to Amelia, who's 13, Avery, 11, and we live in Miami.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 11, and we live in LA.
Well, today we have a supersized Mother's Day special. We're celebrating the deeply personal parts of motherhood and the parts that connect moms through the generations. First up, Dr. Lindsay Kavanaugh is back on the show. She sits down with Jamila, Lucy, and me to talk through mom guilt that's been bugging each of us. These mini therapy sessions were so cathartic for us, and we hope that they will be for you too. Then we're switching gears, and our resident dad sits down with Luisa, mom of our very own Lucy Lopez. They talk about Luisa's childhood in Cuba and how that translated to raising a smart, strong daughter in the U.S. We have so much to talk about, so let's get going. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll see you back here for Mom Therapy.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year. So you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, we're back, and it's time for Mom Therapy with our friend, Dr. Lindsay Kavanaugh. She hosts the podcast Married After Kids. We've had her on the show before to talk about marriage counseling, but today she stepped into the therapist role for your three mom hosts. All moms have a nagging insecurity or guilt hanging over their heads, and really, we all probably have a couple of these, so it's important to talk through those issues with someone who can help. So that's exactly what Lindsay came to do. Jamila was up first.
Okay, so here's my mom trauma. My mother feels that I abandoned her by not moving back home after college. And we talked about it once and she admitted, I said, do you feel like I abandoned you because I didn't come home after college, or did it start when I left for college? And, you know, she said both. And so I feel guilt about being on the other side of the country from her, but I've also chosen to start a life that, you know, I needed to be somewhere other than my hometown to maintain. And I fear, because, you know, single mothers and daughters tend to be like really close, like girlfriends, you know, in the ways that I've seen like other single moms who had multiple children not have the same connection to their kids, you know. And so I know that I'm a mom's best friend, and I am the single mom of a daughter, and my daughter is my best friend. And so I want to also be prepared for her to leave me someday. You know, I worry that I may take on my mom's same, you know, even though I want her to go, I want her to go off to school, I want her to do whatever she wants to do. So just how do I manage these kind of feelings of guilt around my own mom, and how do I avoid passing those down to my daughter?
Okay, I have so many things I want to say about this. A couple questions first. What is your relationship like with your mom, like while you are living so far away?
It's good. We've had a complicated relationship in the past. You know, we used to argue a bit. And one day about 2 years ago, I just decided, I was like, I'm not arguing with my elderly mother anymore. Like, this is crazy. It's just not necessary. I refuse to do it. And since then, things have been much better. But we talk about 3 to 5 times a week. She comes to visit on occasion, and I come to Chicago to visit her twice a year, usually.
Right. And is there, because I always ask people any kind of cultural stuff too, because there are certain cultures that, you know, living all together or living close by is, you know, is important. And if you don't do it, you are very much going against something that is important and ingrained in them. So I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, African-American children tend to be just very reverent of their mothers, you know, and close to them. So a good number of the people I grew up with went back home after school, you know, and a number of us did not, and we're living elsewhere. But I've had friends who've moved their mothers in with them.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think it adds to the guilt, right? You're not just feeling guilty about not moving back. It's also this, you know, I'm supposed to, or other people have, or other people are doing more than me. And I think recognizing that the guilt, you know, is we got a lot of layers with it. But honestly, when it comes to this stuff, my rule of thumb is that you are never responsible for fixing somebody else's emotions. Like, your mom can be disappointed that you never moved home, or that, you know, you didn't do that. I think that that's okay for her to feel, but also you are not responsible for managing those emotions. You can be kind, you can be loving, you can be sensitive to them, you can recognize while they're there, you know, all of those things, but that is where that stops. That is all that you can do, right? And you're going to think about this a lot, and the same thing when it comes to your daughter. And like, you're going to, if you have, or if she has guilt, or if you want her to come home, right, you are responsible for managing those feelings. And you can talk to her about them, like, hey, I'm going to want you to come home. That doesn't mean I need you to. And I don't want you to feel guilt about it. And I think just bringing some of that stuff out into the open, it's hard. It's hard when it's our mom. You want your mom to be happy, and you want your mom to be happy with you, but she is, most likely. And I think, was it Glennon Doyle? She said something like that. When I really stopped being responsible for my mom's emotions, like, all things got better. Our relationship got better. You know, everything improved. What does that bring up for you as I'm talking about this?
No, it definitely resonates. You know, I have made, for the most part, peace with my decision not to go back home. And I've, you know, forgiven myself. So even though it's hard not to sometimes feel guilt in general, I'm like, no, I'm chasing a life that I want. I'm happy. You know I don't want to be home at this point in my life. That's, you know, never say never, but I don't see myself moving back unless I needed to.
Yeah. So it's just, I think it's when that guilt comes up, I think it's just having to say all of that stuff to your brain. And I think it can get frustrating when we're having to repeat the same things to our brain over and over. But sometimes we just have to repeat the same things to our brain over and over. I mean, I have somewhat similar, right? We're living in Japan. My mom's in Colorado. Like, why are you so far away from me? And I think it's just, again, I am doing what is best for me and knowing that that's what's going to be best for my children, because the happiest version of me is a better daughter and the happiest version of me is a better parent. And I'm sure that that's the case for you as well.
Thank you. I feel healed.
10 minutes. That's all it takes.
One done. That's all it takes.
My husband and I, we run a house under like an extremely tight budget, and our kids attend school with kids who, it's obviously that their parents are maybe just like a little bit more well off than we are. And their friends tend to come back from like these spring and summer vacations, just bragging about over the top vacation. I know my daughter, one of her friends, spent an entire summer in Capri. And, my kids just went on an airplane to Georgia the beginning of this year. It's something, but my kids, I like when I was a kid, I never vocalized those feelings of not having, and my kids do, and I don't know how to navigate it because I never want to pull out the checkbook like my mom used to do and sit me down and be like, this is how much this costs, this is how much we have currently in the bank. And although I think at the time that's what was worked for her as a mother to explain things to mm-hmm. us, I feel like a complete failure mm-hmm. that I can't give them that kind of life right now that their circle of friends are experiencing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not just one friend. It's like a lot of the friends. And I don't know. Like, I grew up in a house where, like, I never vocalize that, and now my kids are like, they tell me everything, and it's tough.
Yeah.
Can you help? Ayuda, por favor.
I think that for me there's sort of two separate things in what you're talking about. You have the money stuff, which I'm going to start with, but you also have kind of what that turns into for you, which is like, am I failing as a parent, or I am failing as a parent because XYZ. But like, going back to the money is a hot button issue regardless of your age. And, you know, if you think about finances being one of the top things that couples argue about, and, you know, one thinking we should spend money on this and another thinking we should spend money on that. And I remember even as a kid, I was in elementary school. I don't have many memories left from elementary school, but I remember somebody saying in the cafeteria, like, are you poor? And I just I remember that, and I remember it viscerally with my whole body. And so I think that the thing that's often missing with these is it's an emotional conversation, and just giving someone the checkbook or showing someone the balance, like, you're missing that emotional component of it all. And that's really what your kids are talking about, right? And so really validating that frustration, that disappointment, that, right, like that kind of stuff with them can be so helpful.
But thank you. But how do I, like, my bag of quote unquote tricks is what I know, what I grew up with, which is like, be lucky that you have food on the table.
Yeah.
and a lot of that is, you know, that's immigrant talk. That's like survival shit, you know? Such panic. And I never, ever want my daughters to feel like that. Never want them to feel like that. So that's the part where.
But I think that, right? We all feel that to some degree. And so I think more so teaching them that they're not alone in that. Like, hey, I feel this too. And here's some of the things that I'm working on to help me with that. Like, we could do this together. And two, like, then now they know this is a normal thing. I don't need to make it about me personally. And I, right? It's not like they can't do this stuff because something is wrong with them. And for mm-hmm. kids, it tends to be much more black and white with this stuff, right? If I'm good, I get this. If I'm bad, I get, you know, and you know, with this kind of thing, it's so layered. And the reason that you're feeling shame is because even some of those concepts that we learned as a kid were taught to us. And so being able to kind of show them something different, and you get to be the model for that too.
Sorry, I'm like so emotional. I love them so much, you know, and I just want to give them everything that I can, but I also want to, you know, like, it's just so tough, you know, it's so much happening around us, and I'm just like, baby, I can't go to Capri. And I'm not crying because Capri, it's not even
Capri just represents all things.
It's all Capri. Crying because I'm like, damn, we all deserve a trip to Capri. And I want to go first with your dad. It's like, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
But I think letting them into kind of how you're feeling, I think really talking to them about how to manage disappointment and how to get really creative with what you do have. Again, all of those are really useful tools that are just going to be able to benefit them the rest of their life. And even hearing a little bit of your struggle, hey, I don't want you all to feel like this, but you not wanting them to feel it doesn't mean that they won't. And so by bringing it out in the open, you're saying that it's okay for them to feel, and you're willing to work through it with them.
Damn. Thank you. I too feel healed.
I feel like I'm a house of cards, and I'm never quite doing everything right. Like, I feel like I go to bed at night and I feel like not everyone got my best, and I feel bad about that. And like bad in a way that like almost at night, I feel like I sit up and I think like, okay, well, maybe I did these mom things good, but I was a really terrible wife today. Or maybe I was really great, you know, at school, or I was a really good wife today, but like, I definitely did not meet my children's needs. And I can't seem to let go. And it's not like that I need to be perfect, but I just feel like I can't keep everything afloat, and I can't seem to give myself the grace. So this is going to be it too. Like, great, maybe I did all these things great, but now I can't even give myself like, I feel guilty that I can't treat myself the way I would tell a friend to treat themselves. Mm-hmm. So it feels very just like, instead of, I find myself to be a, or think of myself as a very positive person, but the end of my days feeling very heavy as I kind of take stock of things and think like, well, I really messed up on this, you know, lunch, or Henry asked me to do this one thing and I couldn't do it, or I lost my temper here, or like I said, I was great with the kids today, but like Jeff went out the window and now he's feeling this way. And just kind of the heaviness of feeling like I'm not doing enough, and then I'm also not giving myself mm-hmm. the grace that I need.
This is probably the number one thing that I talk to, I mean, if not number one, definitely top five, that I talk to my clients about, particularly moms, because somewhere along the line, there was this expectation put out to us that's like, you can do it all. You can have it all. And I think, I don't know where that came from, but what I will say is I just don't think that that's true to an extent. I think that you can have all the things. I think that you can't have them all at the same time, or they can't all be at a certain level all at the same time. And it really, like, if we're trying to do that, we fail every single time. I think that it's impossible. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. And so if you look at people who actually are quote unquote doing it all, they're probably not, but they have probably a lot of support around them. And so I think it's sometimes being able to, what standard am I holding myself to? And if I'm failing every single day, I've got to change that standard. I've got to change what I'm comparing myself to. And then how do I just start to create the system that feels better, right? Some days I'm going to be much better at work, and maybe I'm not going to be as present of a spouse, but how do I even still feed into my marriage those days, right? But how do I be a really present parent today, which means the other things might also go down, right? It's like it's setting that standard so that you can win.
I know.
How does that feel?
I mean, I hear you. But I think in practice, I have a very hard time letting myself off the hook in some sense. Like, you know, and some of that is the fault of being on the show in some sense, because I feel like I have access to all these, I get to talk to all these parenting experts. We like give advice, and we've heard all these scenarios, and I think about them. And then in the moment, it's like, you know, things are completely chaotic with the kids.
Because you're comparing it to the right way, right? The gold standard way. So I have good and bad news for you. Like, the good news is I think that the biggest thing that needs to change here is just your mindset about it. The bad news is it's changing your mindset about it, which is hard. And initially, you have to take words and say them to yourself. Or heck, I've had people even like record their friends saying this stuff, and you play that at night until you can start saying this to yourself. Because initially, your brain is having those automatic thoughts that I failed at this. I didn't do this right. I'm looking at it this. And you just need to start replacing that.
We need to be our own biggest hype person. And I think instead, I have really become my own biggest critic, thinking that that is somehow bettering me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm doing the work, but it turns out I'm really my own problem.
And again, that's good news, because we don't need to wait for anyone else to change. But it's bad news, because that means that you're the one that then, you know, has to make that change. And I think sometimes that's really hard to actually do and know that it is going to be a process, and you're going to mess up when you're doing it, and you're going to slip back, and you're going to fall into old patterns and all of that stuff. But doing that work is still so important and is going to serve you so well in the long run.
Lindsay, why do we have such a hard time with our moms? Because even my stuff, like, I think if I really dug into it, some of it comes, you know, from how I was parented by someone who was amazing and doing the best job that they could. And we heard the same thing from Lucy, right? But she was also parented by a wonderful woman who was doing the best she could. So why, as we become moms, is this like, why is there so much trauma around being a mom and having a mom?
I think it's such this normal thing, but I don't think that we talk about it enough. And so I think a lot of people feel really alone in that and feel that they're the only one struggling. And it's not until we do stuff like this, where we have these conversations where, hey, we're all struggling, and hey, we get all of these messages and listeners writing in that are talking about the same stuff. And it's just, these conversations are not happening enough, and these conversations are not being widely spread. And if we're not talking about them, we're also not talking about solutions for it. We're not, right? So now we're all just suffering in silence, doing the hardest job imaginable. And I think that it starts with saying the stuff out loud. It starts with, right? Like, and our parents were from a generation where you didn't talk about stuff, and you definitely didn't talk about emotions, and you didn't, right? And so we're all kind of learning to do this for the first time. And it feels uncomfortable, and it feels, you know, like unproductive at times. And I think that just recognizing that you're not alone, and that there are ways to make it easier, there are ways to make it better, I think just having that little bit of hope, like, oh, things can change for me, or I don't have to suffer with this alone. And that's why I think podcasts like this are so important because they might not hear this stuff any other time. If their friends aren't talking about it, if, right, it's just, I think that really recognizing that there's nothing wrong with you. This is just how it is right now. And I think that we can be part of kind of solving this for us, or we can stay stuck. And the only way that we don't stay stuck is if we talk about it.
Thanks again to Lindsay for joining us and being so kind and thoughtful. Listeners, we always want to hear from you. So if this segment got you thinking about your own mom guilt, or if you've got some tips for the three of us, we want to hear from you. Seriously, shoot us an email. It's KarenFeedingPod@slate.com. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back in a second for Zach's interview with Lucy's mom.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're back, and it's time to hear Zach's interview with Luisa, Lucy's mom. Zach, want to set the stage for us?
Sure. Somehow I messed up the timing of this interview and arrived 20 minutes late and got to the Zoom with Luisa, a woman I had never met before, freaking out because she was worried about me, which was like so sweet. She had that maternal instinct, not just for her daughter, but for her daughter's colleagues on the podcast. So that, funny enough, it kind of put me at ease. I profusely apologized, and then we proceeded to have a really lovely conversation. My wife always makes fun of me that like I love hanging out with boomer women, and this was no different. I had a great time with Lucy's mom, Luisa. She's really wise and loving, and it's just great to learn about someone's mom, because then, you know, we inevitably learn about our friend Lucy. So I had a great time with Luisa, and I want to wish her a very happy Mother's Day. So with that, let's hear the interview. What a terrible foot for us to get off on, for me to be late, 20 minutes late to our first chat. Yeah, for the listeners, I just totally flaked out and thought that this interview was later than it was, and I have been making you sweat. What goes through a mother's head when she thinks that something is supposed to happen at a certain time, and then you start to think, like, what? Where was your head going with what could have been the worst-case scenario there?
Did he run into an accident? Did somebody do something to him? When you wake up in the morning, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. A lot of things can happen that are not expected.
It was just a scheduling mishap. I am so sorry. And it's so great to meet you finally.
Thank you.
What can I call you? What should I call you?
Well, I'm Luisa, but my family, friends, call me Nena.
And how long have you been a parent?
Oh, wow. 40-something years.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can hear Lucy laughing in the background. The fact that Lucy became a broadcaster and a podcaster, was that a surprise to you? Or was there something about her that was always interested in sharing?
That wasn't a surprise for me. I knew that that was what she liked. Because when you take a 6 or 7 year old to a birthday party and he grabs the microphone from the host and take over.
That's what Lucy used to do?
Yes. She was always looking for that, looking for the lightest spot.
So we know something about Lucy. Our listeners know something about Lucy, but we know very little about you. Tell me, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Cuba until I was 18 years old.
What was your mom like?
My mother was Puerto Rican. She was an excellent woman, very strong, and a person like Lucy that she let you know right offhand who you're talking to.
Is that how people might describe you as well?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Because you said Lucy is like that. So I'm wondering if that skipped a generation, or are you...
We cannot forget that Lucy was raised almost by my mother, because I had to go and make the way to support the family. And my mother and my father were the one that stood at home with my kids. The Cuban, we have a secret for keeping our way of life and not to let our children to forget where they come from. And that secret is abuelo and abuela.
So abuelo and abuela, Lucy's grandparents helped to raise her. You said you were out working. What were you doing out of the house? What was your job?
When I was married, we moved to Florida to raise our family, and I was the plant manager of a factory that manufactured plastic bags.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a factory with 3 shifts, and I was the general manager and controller. And it was a nice job, but I needed a lot of time, and I had 2 kids.
Yeah.
So my mother's and my father's help was imminent.
So the fact that your mother was a strong woman who left little to doubt, was that something that you tried to teach Lucy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you teach strength?
That is half and half. And she got it from my mother and from me. My mother was the type of woman that would tell my daughter, go grab that bucket of water. I can without it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't tell me you can and you haven't tried it. Let's try first. And if you can, I help you to do it. But you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lucy mentioned something once that you taught her self-defense when she was very young, when she was 6 years old.
Yes.
What did you do?
I had to, because Lucy would come home every week with a rip-off uniform. What happened, Lucy? They don't know how to talk to me, Mom. They don't understand me.
Él te está preguntando sobre Bocho.
Oh, boy. That was a cousin of her. That he was, like, very malcriado.
Spoiled.
Mm-hmm. He used to hit her and scream at her. And she came that day from her abuela's house to my house and say, Mom, Bocho is always kicking me and pulling my hair. I said, well, we're going to do something about it. I said, what are we going to do about it? I said, I'll teach you. And I went over the abuela where they used to meet. I didn't do this in my house. I went to the abuela where they used to do this. And I went to the kitchen. And I say, open that drawer. And she opened the drawer. I say, do you see that? That's a caso. That's the big spoon to serve soup that is round.
The big ladle.
Mm-hmm. And I say, you take this, go outside where Bocho is, and right in the middle of the head, you do it.
Right in the middle of the head?
Yeah. If you can reach. She did it. The first visit that they were together, and he started hitting on her, she just took over She went to the drawer, she picked up the spoon, went up to him, and whoa! And my father-in-law looked at me and say, that girl is being trained. Problem solved. And then I told her, you see, Lucy, this is something that you can apply certain moments in your life, and you don't have to grab a spoon, but you can grab your language and your expression and show not to move one step ahead.
Yeah. Right now, we're living in an era where you know, parents are listening to podcasts and reading parenting books and going to parenting groups. When you first became a mom, how did you know what to do? Where did you go to, you know, seek answers on all these questions that we don't have answers to?
We go back to our secret, abuela y abuelo.
This reminds me, from the little I know about your family, I know that Lucy was involved in some end-of-life care for her grandmother. And that's something that a lot of young people aren't involved in. A lot of young people are told to go sit in the waiting room. So can you kind of explain how you got Lucy to be a big part of these huge life and death decisions?
You have to trust them and you have to tell them what's going on. And that's what I did. I told them what was going on with my parents and why my mother was sick. And I have to work, and they have to be prepared to face any situation. If I'm at work, that is at work, and you are with abuela, and abuela happens something to abuela, what are you going to do? So I took them to classes of first aid. Had a, ¿cómo se dice?
CPR.
CPR.
Inyectada de insulina.
The fire department showed them how to inject the insulina in my mother.
The insulin, uh-huh.
And there was a day where when she used that and she had to give CPR to my mother.
Wow.
I got there later on and the guy from the rescue told me, your daughter saved your mother. We got here, she already got her going.
Wow.
That's why you cannot underestimate the understanding of a child, no matter how old they are. They understand, and if you talk to them and explain they how things are, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And they will grow up knowing how to face a problem no matter what it is.
Yeah, I know. I love that advice.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've always been able to trust Lucy.
Yes. You can trust Lucy with your eyes closed, okay? Like my boss used to say, that's a person that you can give your back in a bar.
She's always been like that.
Always. She's a good people.
Yes, that's clear. She gets it from her mother and her grandparents, sounds like. And now you're a grandparent yourself. Is there something surreal about being a grandparent?
That is the most special thing in this life, because your grandchildren love you no matter what. And you don't have to discipline them.
So you spoil your grandkids in ways that you didn't spoil your kids?
Unlimited.
Unlimited. What do you love to do with them?
Oh, my favorite is when they are in my house, and we have a room in my house that we call it the Ding Dong House.
Uh-huh.
The Ding Dong House name comes from a little house that I bought for them to play. And the door of that little house, there is a bell, and when you push it, goes ding dong. Everything there, from books to toy, anything that you can imagine is in that room. No TV.
Everything but TV.
And then Grandpa gives them money.
Do they have to earn it, or does he just give it to them?
No. It has their way. Sometimes he just give it to them. Like, for example, this last month, Avery got honor roll. She comes home and tell my husband, guess what? And he says, what is it? He said, I got honor roll. We are going shopping. And he goes to the store with them. And Lucy is like me when I was raising them, that we got to the mall and we stopped in front of the mall. And I asked them, what are we here? We'll buy whatever we say we're going to buy, nothing else.
Yeah. Lucky grandkids.
Those are my life. I breathe them. And when they are with me, I enjoy every minute of it. And I don't allow any problem to come in between. If you're a parent and you are very, very young, go to your parents and ask for advice, because they are the best source of information in that. If you have any doubt, look at yourself. If you're happy with what you are, it's because your parent made you.
Yeah.
¿Y si los padres no sirven?
Let's say the parents aren't the best parents and they had to raise themselves and become the person that they are today, but they still need that parenting advice. Who are they going to look to?
There is always a supreme being, God, all the time. If you cannot go to abuelos for advice because it's not going to be a good advice, trust God and trust what He gave you. And if you became a good person, even though you had a trashy parents, God gave you that. Use it. And trust your kids. Remember how you were when you were that age and how you came out of that. Use that. Use your own strength and give it to them. Give them love. Give them discipline, because those two things go together.
Love and discipline. Yeah.
And they will be a strong people that will do good things. But you have to trust them, because that's the base of confidence.
Yeah.
You are confident, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
Beautiful. Well, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much.
We are so grateful for Luisa for sharing her story with us, and to Lucy for helping make it happen, of course. After we taped that conversation last week, Lucy made her on-air recommendation to sit your kids down with an older matriarch for a conversation about the past and the future, and we can't recommend that highly enough either. Let us know if this episode inspired you to think about your own motherhood or a mom in your life a little differently. You can write to us at our email address, KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We can't wait to hear from you. And that's our show. Subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. If you want more parenting advice, you can find Karen Feeding the column on slate.com. This episode of Karen Feeding is produced by Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Lucy Lopez, Jamila Lemieux, and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.